Now today, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to Luke, taking lessons from Luke, I want to read to you from chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the Gospel, beginning to read at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to give Thee thanks for all Thy mercies, for Thy grace, and for all the blessings Thou hast bestowed upon Thy people. If Thou hast granted us blessings for which we have not given thanks, we give Thee thanks now. Look down in mercy upon all who are listening now to this broadcast. Grant Thy richest blessing to be their portion. Save some precious souls that need saving. Bless those who are thine own. Be with every one of them. For the Lord Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now we come today to a very interesting section of this Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion has come back to his native town, to the town of Nazareth. And when it come back, it says he came in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now remember, all this happened after he had been baptized, after he had been in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil and triumphed over his great enemy. Now he comes back in the power of the Spirit. He has come back to his native town where everyone knew him. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In going into the synagogue, he indicated that he was willing to read the portion for that day. There was handed to him the book. It was the prophecy of Isaiah. And he opened that scroll at the place that you and I call chapter 61. And he began to read the scriptures for that day from Isaiah's prophecy and the portion that you and I call chapter 61. I say that because it was not divided into chapters at that time. It was only subsequent to that that the book was divided into chapters. That's the reason it distinctly says he found the place where it was written. Now that place is what we call chapter 61. And here is how it reads. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. Now to us, that is right in the very middle of a sentence. If he had continued reading, he would have read, "And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn," and so on. Now he didn't do that. He stopped at the very middle of the verse. At that part where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he stopped his reading there, then he rolled up the scroll again and gave it back to the officiating servant in the synagogue. Then he sat down. That was the custom, to stand up to read down. And the people in the synagogue just looked at him. All the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, you ask the question, why? Because of what he read, how he read it, and where he stopped. Now, here was a great occasion. We might call it his first sermon at home. But here was a great preacher, the greatest preacher the world has ever known, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knew exactly how to read the inspired scriptures, and he knew exactly where to stop. Now, as the people in that congregation in the synagogue fastened their eyes on him, they waited, breathless. Then he began to speak. Here we have the stated case. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Reminding us of this, that Isaiah 61 was a prophetic utterance. It was the prophecy of God's man, Isaiah, the great prophet. But then the Lord Jesus Christ knew that this prophecy would spread itself over a long period of time. So when he came to this particular part to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he stopped. You see, there's a great space between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Sometimes you've heard preachers say, "This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time," and that's true. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day of salvation. But if this is the acceptable year of the Lord, it has been stretched out now for nearly 2,000 years. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and the gospel concerning his death, burial, and resurrection has been preached to generation after generation, and has been carried around the earth, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried, how he rose again from the dead. And so therefore it's the death, burial and resurrection of Christ that constitutes the message of the gospel and tells us this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. But did you notice that the acceptable year of the Lord will be followed by the day of vengeance of our God? Now the day of vengeance has not yet come. If the Lord Jesus Christ had read that statement that day, he could never have said to the congregation gathered in the synagogue in Nazareth, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," for it wasn't. And it hasn't yet been fulfilled, for we haven't yet reached that day of vengeance. But we have reached the acceptable year of the Lord. And since we are in the acceptable year of the Lord, then the Lord Jesus Christ could say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, we can also continue to say that to men and women today. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." We are still living in this era of time that the Bible refers to as the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ died and was raised again from the dead, and God is still accepting men and women who are drawn unto Him. Men and women who come and exercise faith in Jesus Christ are saved, and saved with an everlasting salvation. For this is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. But remember, my friend, He closed the book. Now, it's a strange thing when you come over to the book of the Revelation in chapter 5. There's a book there, and it's sealed with seven seals. No one was found able to open that book except one, the Lamb upon the throne. And that Lamb was presented as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In plain words, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's both the Lamb and the Lion. He alone was found worthy to open that book. And when he began breaking the seals and opening that book, as John saw in vision, it was to introduce the day of vengeance of our God. Now, I personally believe that the time is fast approaching when the acceptable year of the Lord will come to an end. The day of salvation has almost run its course. And when the day of salvation comes to an end, this old world will be ushered in to the day of vengeance of our God. God has never yet dealt with the world for the rejection of His Son. He will someday. And my friend, if you're counted in with those who are still rejecting Jesus Christ, and if you refuse to accept Him during the acceptable year of the Lord, remember this: if you reject Him, He will reject you. And when the day of vengeance comes, you'll be caught right there under the vengeance of our God. Now then, they all bear witness, and they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. But yet some scorned. They said, "Oh, we know who He is. Why, He's Joseph's son." They said that in ridicule. See, Joseph was only a poor carpenter in Nazareth. And what could this man tell them? He was just Jesus, the supposed son of Joseph. And he looked at them. He said, "Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to use a proverb with me. You're going to say, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." But he reminded them that no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now at that point, he's going to submit to them certain evidence from history, events of history, if you like. He takes up two things that you can read of away back in the Old Testament. Events that took place during the time when men of God, prophets of God, were active. There was a time when the nation of Israel turned away from their God and turned to idolatry. And God raised up a man by the name of Elijah. Now Elijah was a prophet of God, a man of God. And during the time of Elijah, the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, which meant there was a drought. And because of the drought, there was a great famine. At that time, God was dealing with the nation. They wouldn't listen to the word of Elijah to begin with, and so God came down upon them with vengeance, with a view to turning them back to himself. Now at that time, he said, while there were many, many widows in Israel, nevertheless, Elijah was not sent to one of them. Elijah was sent to a widow who was outside the bounds of Israel. She was called the widow of Sarepta, a city of Sidon. You see, there was a lot of widows in Israel, but Elijah was not sent to one of them. However, when you go back and read that story, you'll discover this. Here was a poor widow. She was away at a distance. And as a widow, she was desolate. As a widow, she was destitute. As a widow, she was doomed in the midst of famine. She had nothing. Yet it was to that woman that this Elijah, the man of God, was sent. Isn't it strange? The very people who should have listened to the man of God and accepted his message despised him, ridiculed him, chased him, if you like. And yet, he went outside the bounds of Israel, and he was sent to that poor widow. Oh yes, it's perfectly true. He was not accepted in his own country, but was accepted by others outside and brought great blessing. Now, following the life story of Elijah, there arose another man, a successor to Elijah, who was called Elisha. Now, during the time of Elijah, there were many, many lepers in Israel. That is, a lot of people suffering from the disease of leprosy. Now, we don't read in the records of any of them having been cured of the leprosy by Elisha. But we do read of a man who was an outsider, a great general. And he was cleansed of his leprosy. He was Naaman the Syrian. Remember, this great general was diseased. This great general was defiled with his disease. This great general was directed by Elisha how to be cured. And this great general was delivered from his awful disease. Yet, there were many lepers in Israel. We don't read of one of them being cleansed. Yet we read of the outsider, the man who was the general in the Syrian army, and he was cleansed. Now, isn't it strange if you take those two incidents that the Lord refers to here? One of them had to do with the man of God called Elijah. The other had to do with the man of God called Elisha. Yet, when you look at the two people who were blessed, one was a poor widow, away down at the lowest rung of the social ladder. The other was a great military general who had risen to the highest rung in the social ladder. Both of them were in need. The man of God on each occasion was able to meet the needs of these people, yet they were outsiders. And God's blessing through Elijah and God's blessing through Elisha went out to these outsiders while the people within the bounds of Israel failed to receive the blessing from God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is using these things while he's giving his sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth. Now, you can understand that the people in Nazareth would not at all be happy about these things, for the simple reason they didn't like these outsiders. They treated them as being unclean. These were Gentile dogs. Now watch. The evidence is submitted. But watch the sad verdict. Here is the sin of humanity. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Why should they be filled with wrath? Because that the Lord Jesus Christ told them the truth. You see, he proved to them that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He's not accepted in his own country. And he proved it from the historical record of Elijah and the historical record of Elisha. But if those in their own area refused their message, nevertheless the blessing went out to others. Here again the same thing takes place, and the people who were gathered in the synagogue at Nazareth rose up against him, filled with wrath, and they thrust him not only out of the synagogue, they thrust him out of the city, they led him up to the brow of the hill, and they were going to cast him down headlong. They wanted to get rid of the Christ of God. It's true that back in the Old Testament, the people had been guilty of rejecting God's prophets. They had caused them to be put to death on many an occasion. They had become martyrs amongst their own people. Here again, they're doing exactly the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to put him to death because they didn't like his preaching. My friend, let us turn the searchlight into our own hearts today. Sometimes people resent the preacher when he tells the truth. They want the preacher today to speak soft things to them. They don't mind if the preacher twists the word of God round to try and make it mean something else that never was intended. As long as he speaks a soft sermon, something to ease them, something to help them along in their sin. But don't ruffle them. Don't rock the boat, as they would say. Just preach soft words to us and have a nice sermon. It'll be all right. But if you start preaching against us, remember this, we'll not come back to hear the ministry. And so preachers today, many of them, have got to please the congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't try to please his congregation that day. He simply told them the truth. As you would say today, tell the truth, let the chips fall where they like. He told them the truth. And the people showed their sin and their hatred. They were filled with wrath. And they pass out through the city. They take him up to the brow of the hill and are going to cast him down. But his time had not yet come. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Here is the solemn results. Here we're faced with the movements of deity. Now I've set before you in this message here, first of all, the fulfillment of prophecy. Remember this, God's prophetic statements will always come to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ presented to them the events of history. Here we see the sin of humanity, rejecting the Christ of God and seeking to put him to death. Now watch the movements of deity. He, passing through the midst of them, went his way. The Lord Jesus Christ had lived in the town of Nazareth for nearly 30 years. Now he's leaving Nazareth and he's going down to Capernaum, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He's moving away from the city where he was rejected. He'll do this again and again. Now, my friend, I want you to remember this. You cannot play fast and loose with the offers of God. When God in mercy and in grace draws near, you and I ought to get right with God. So therefore, I ask you, if he's calling to you today, that you'll seek him now. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how all come to Christ who shed his blood, and at the cross get right with God.